You're listening to a podcast from 702.
And we are about to tackle a different topic now. It was an incredible open line as always. Thank you for engaging us, for calling in and walking the talk with us. I want us now to put a spotlight on rehabilitation in prisons and the reintegration of ex-offenders back into societies. And I always want our discussions to be listener-centered. So I really want you to give us a call and tell us, maybe you're an ex-offender. If you're an ex-offender, you can tell us about how easy or difficult it's been to reintegrate into society. Was it socially awkward for you? What are your experiences? But I also want to have a conversation with some people that may be in prisons as well, because we get a lot of calls from prisoners on the show. And I've spoken to some of them that have given us calls and said, we want to tell you what the conditions are. And maybe you are in prison and you want to tell us about the rehabilitation programs in prison. Are they working? Are they not? Are the conditions conducive for rehabilitation? And I also want to speak about the victim offender dialogues that government has previously spoken about. Have they been working? Have they not been working? And it also is a victim of crime whose perpetrator was actually in prison or has served time in prison. Do you even care about rehabilitation? Or is your approach, well, I was violated and all I want is this person must just be stuck in jail. And maybe that's your approach. And you don't care much about that person being rehabilitated because you feel like that re-traumatizes you. The idea that person then comes back into society and they can live in society and continue with their life as normal, and you are still living with the scars of the crime that was committed towards you. I would like to hear your experiences as well. So give me a call on 011-883-0702. If you want to SMS me 31702, on WhatsApp, I'll take your calls on 072-702-1702. I have a number of people that are going to join us for this conversation. I have Sfiso, who is an ex-offender. He has recently just come out of prison. He's also an entrepreneur. And I also have Gabby Fells, who is a specialized kinesiologist with 30 years of experience. She has worked mainly with prisoners on their rehabilitation. She has worked pro bono with groups of inmates at Leeukop Maximum Prison for about 12 years. And we also going to speak to Kay, who is currently incarcerated, because we also want to hear what the story is right inside. So that's how we're going to layer the conversation. But I want you to also call with your experiences, with how you think we can rethink some of the rehabilitation programs in prison so that we check how satisfactory they are. Are they serving their purpose? Because many people are rehabilitated. In fact, the majority of people released on paroles don't reoffend. But we must also have conversations about the effectiveness of those programs. So let me start this discussion with Kay, who is currently in prison. Kay, how are you doing, man?
Great, and how are you, sir?
I'm all right. How long have you been there now?
It's about 12 years.
Yeah. 12 years, and how many years do you still have to serve?
I still have to serve 6 more years.
6 more years. In your 12 years there, Kay, what's the experience been when it comes to rehabilitation? Maybe take us through the programs and the conditions in prison and whether or not they are conducive for rehabilitation of offenders.
Rehabilitation is broad from where I am seated now. And there is no rehabilitation, you know. Inmates are self-catering at most times in here. And gangsterism is not rife, but it is there because there is no rehabilitation from the authorities to the inmates. And conditions are not good, and it is not safe at all, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And what I found that it depends from which angle we are looking at safety, because at times you would find assaults amongst people, which, you know, we find certain treatments are not well. We would find even within the authorities, certain conditions are not met by most of our inmates are kept, being kept here or captive without no strong reflection or response from the authorities.
People often talk about gangsterism in prisons, and I know it may not be as rife as we often talk about it, us who are outside. But what is the likelihood of people, when they get to prison, joining some gangs? Because I've been told in the past, you know, when I had conversations with prisoners who say, you know, you have to belong to a particular gang so that you are safe. But when you belong to that gang, there are a lot of sort of criminal activities or maybe things that happen that don't help in the rehabilitation of that offender. So being part of that gang almost doesn't serve a rehabilitation purpose. So I want to know from you if people are almost forced to belong to gangs because that's the only way of them guaranteeing their safety in prison.
Well, what I would say, sir, is we've got less facilities, and you find that they've got nothing to do at times, guys. And you find that there's so many things, there is creativity, there is talent within individuals. But it's just that officials are not facilitating inmates. That's where you find that people are not developing in skills. When they get out, they still get into the same crimes because they do not have skills. They've wasted most of the time in prison. They tell you about certain causes, but they don't actually help or benefit certain inmates in here. Most of
And how are you rehabilitating yourself? So over the 12 years that you've been in jail, what have been your reflections in terms of making amends and becoming a better person and reflecting on the mistake that you made that landed you in jail?
There's certain programs we would do as inmates. Maybe we would gym together. We would have motivational speeches towards each other. But also, we also have books that I do read a lot, you know. But honestly speaking, rehabilitation here is lacking in skills. We do not have facilities. We have people that you have a passion. You want to learn plumbing. You want to learn maybe doing clothes. You know, there's a lot of things you want to do. But you find that there's less facilities. Sometimes you find visitors offering to facilitate. But that thing will just end up just by talk when they're supposed to facilitate certain problems and bringing programs that are effective enough to help us to develop in here. So it's very difficult, you know. Not only just that, because at the moment, as we have undergone through the coronaviruses and the certain laws whereby people were allowed, actually there was a certain percentage given to inmates, but you find that people are still here. You know, the court cases are still kept here, whereby they are supposed to be helped, and certain causes are not meant, are not to help inmates to get out. Sometimes they will even tell us about SP69s and things. And I would ask myself, how does correctional officers participate in court matters? You know what I mean? Because certain cases would rise and they would never help. You've got more inmates who are supposed to be out, and they're still here, and you're still overcrowded with no facilities.
Do you ever think about okay, the victims of your crime as part of rehabilitating yourself? Do you ever sit and think about those victims and how you can make amends?
Yes, quite often we do have certain times where you reflect and regret certain things. And from my perspective, I've undergone whereby I've forgiven myself, and I hope they too have forgiven me, but DOT is not quite effective where we have a victim-offender dialogue. You know, you find that offenders sometimes they would still be released without going undergoing the DOT.
The victim-offender dialogue.
Yeah, victim-offender dialogue. And which is more effective at times, but we need to create a peace between the offender and the victim, you know.
Do you ever think about what happens when you go out?
Well, there's a lot. I wouldn't stay without thinking. I do reflect on it a lot, yes. And the outcomes, you know, I even think of my safety, because you find that at certain, you would speak as inmates, right? And some of them, you find that in their cases, maybe you have murdered a victim and you'd want to make peace with the family of the person you have victimized. But you find that there is no peace within, you know, and you're having difficulties, or sometimes other individuals are threatened. You know, there is no, you're not quite sure. And you're not even, you know, some of the inmates, they just want to evacuate, maybe change places and start anew because of the view to not being quite effective within the premises.
Mm, mm, mm. Do you fear committing crime again?
Not at all. I wish to develop other people. I wish to make even the younger individuals to be more aware that crime is not the way. You know, we've got skills, we've got talent, and we've got education that are vital. We are looking at the country at the moment, and the way crime is rated, it's not quite good at all. Mm. If we want to make changes in our communities, but there's no effective education at times. Some inmates are arrested here, they want to do certain causes to change. But you would find that they'll tell about IDs and and how do they expect you to get an ID when you are in prison to register for, maybe to rewrite your metric or to do a certain kind of facility form? It's totally cool, the promise. You know, it's totally cool now. But I wish to change. I wish to motivate community and the youngsters that crime is not the way. You know, we need to build safer and more.
And when you reflect on the crime that you committed, and my understanding is it was armed robbery, what do you think led you to that?
Pardon?
What do you think led you to commit the crime that you committed during your reflections? Have you managed to pause and say, this is something that led me to commit that crime?
Yes, at times you find that our backgrounds, you know, there's no employment, and you find that there's no places where you can develop and have skills. So at the most of the time, what we would do, you find out we've got responsibilities, we've got children, we've got parents who are elderly at home, you know, the load was too much. And sometimes you find that you find a way of doing the easy way. You think that maybe
Yeah, all right. Let me bring Sfiso into the conversation. Sfiso is an ex-offender. He's an entrepreneur now. Sfiso, thank you for also joining this conversation. You came out of prison, was it 3 months ago? It's a couple of months ago, ne?
It was 3 months ago. I think it was the 1st of June,
hereby in 2020. Yeah. Would you confidently say that you have been rehabilitated?
Sorry?
Would you confidently say that during your time in jail, you were rehabilitated? And when you came out of prison, you came out after a rigorous and effective rehabilitation program?
Clement, what I can say, it is that I can divide my answer into two. Why I'm doing that, because I would say that rehabilitation, when you are in prison, it has to be a choice before it can be an act. So one has to decide that, am I sticking with the good or am I sticking with the bad? So if you believe that the good, it is what you want to achieve throughout the process, then simply means you go with the good. And the good in that particular space, it is not fun. It is a big challenge because of, hence the guy has just said, facilities are not as open as a person who is outside. The struggle is different. Where food is concerned, where peace is concerned, hence we spoke about prisons being overcrowded and all that. That's mainly the challenge. And even more worse when the officials are not making the place to be more conducive for an inmate to actually find space to rehabilitate yourself, you know, because there are programs that they do offer, which would be your pre-release, which would be your life skill and all that, but those programs, they didn't go deep. They don't have space of depth in terms of letting a person to grow, you know, mentally. And when you go out of prison, you can say, nearly, I have this that I can produce to a workplace. And I believe that by producing this, I might get a work, you know. So it is a difficult space. Hence, it allows one to sit down and have a lot of introspection and say, with me, with myself, what is it that I want? And then you stick to that, you move forward. And however, I believe that a person who has a family, it's a person who has more chances of being rehabilitated than a person who has not, who doesn't have a family, or who doesn't have a family that is more closer to him as he is in prison. You know, immediately your family is very close to you while you're in prison. Even the prison system itself treats you different because they know that you have a person that you can cry to in immediate fact. So you tend to have more like a special treatment because they know that you have an alibi. Immediately you can call your mom, or you can call your sister, or you can call your wife or your girlfriend. You know, they know that that person will be there in a minute, you know, to fight whatever that is happening on your behalf at that particular moment.
How long were you there for, Sfiso?
I've been there for 4 years, 7 months.
That's 4 years. Was it also for armed robbery?
Yeah.
Okay.
Something. Yeah, it was, yeah.
So there are challenges that come with being released from prison. I did say I also want us to touch on the reintegration into communities. What's been your experience? You are an entrepreneur now. And any business person needs the trust from their community. Do you think you have that? What has been your experience since you've been out?
The experience since I've been out, it has been an interesting one. It has been challenging, and it also commands one to have that stature of saying, I can wake up today and do something positive about my life. For an example, you've been away for like 4 years, 7 months. You haven't seen a car close to you. That would be a stat, you know. But immediately you have, as I said before, a family plays a lot of role in your day-to-day outcomes that happen in your life, you know. So I think for me, it has been challenging. However, I thank my partner who has been there for me from the very first day coming out. She has taught me a lot. She has encouraged me. And I think also the role of church also is very important to me, you know, because you need that spiritual well-being that will uplift your spirit and make sure that you become a better person in a daily basis. So for me, it has been great because my partner has been playing a huge role in terms of me being who I am today.
All right. Sfiso, also stay on the line. I want to hear from you guys. What is your view on the rehabilitation in prisons? If you're an ex-offender, you can also give me a call. Maybe you're an ex-offender and you have a view on what's been happening inside prisons. Do we have effective rehabilitation mechanisms in place? And do the conditions allow for offenders to be rehabilitated? Or maybe you are in prison and you want to give us your view. I've actually seen some messages of people that are currently in prison. I'll read some of them. And I want to hear from the victims as well. Do you ever feel like that is important? Because I know even with the victim-offender dialogues, you don't get forced to attend it. It's your prerogative. But do you think you care about the rehabilitation of the prisoners? Because when you're a victim and you have been scarred and you have been violated, I'm imagining that some people are just so scared and they say, for me to get peace is to have knowledge that this person is in jail for the rest of their lives. I want to hear from you as well if you've been a victim of crime or have you even taken part in this victim offender dialogue. So let's have a conversation about that. Your calls on 011-883-0702, your SMS is on 31702, and your WhatsApps on 072-702-1702.
Good morning, Clement. No, that inmate, he shifts blaming. He's not taking any responsibility. I don't hear him talking about himself. He's just blaming the DCS. He ain't sorry anyway. He didn't even show remorse when you ask him the question about his own crime. How does he reflect? He glides over the question faster than Usain Bolt. He's not. And I promise you, he's going to be out in 6 years. He's going to go back to the Chucky doing what he wants. And remember, this is a psychological thing, because when he comes out there, he's going to be a nobody. And there, being in there for 12 years, he's somebody. He's a ringleader. There's a lot of programs in prison. You choose which one you want to be part of. So this one, he's a master. He's a ringleader.
I wonder if, because from what I got was, you know, I asked about the reflections, and Kay did indicate that I've done my reflections. I saw where I was wrong, and I want to develop other people not to get into crime. I didn't get an idea that he was trying to avoid a responsibility, but maybe that's what you got. Do you agree with Naledi there that this is the indication? But I wonder also if this is not the perception we have, right? Because Naledi says, yeah, he was there for 12 years. He's a ringleader. Is that the perception we have about people that have offended and were in jail? So when they come out and we say, you were there for this long time, there is no way that you are reformed and you are rehabilitated. You were almost swallowed up by the system. And I wonder if those perceptions help or they don't help in the smooth reintegration of these ex-offenders into society. These are the other voice notes.
Hi, Clement. I don't care whether they are getting rehabilitated or not. Last week in Katlong, an 8-year-old girl was brutally murdered. She was raped back and front, then stabbed multiply in her tiny body and thrown right on the street. Really, people must be scared of doing crime in South Africa. People are not scared. To them, jail is like a hotel. They are getting everything that us outside here, we are not getting. I really don't care. South Africa must change. Spongile from Katlehong.
Morning, Clement. As for me, really, rehabilitation. Okay, maybe there's another category of prisoners which you can rehabilitate, not murderers and rapists. Really, surely, if you can rape a woman right now, and then after saving a few months, and you see that woman, and then you start I'm sorry for raping you. Really? Can you be sorry for raping a person, really? You did that intentionally, rot in jail. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your views. Armstrong, you're calling us from Tembisa. You are an ex-offender. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay, Armstrong. How are you?
Good. I was in prison I was sent for 27 years for armed robbery, and I stayed there for 14 years, right? And then when it comes to rehabilitation, it depends. We've got two types of people in prison. Those who are negative, want to sit down, do nothing the whole day, and those who are positive, who go in prison, who've got sports, the library, school, church, work, and all those things are there. So it's up to you. And rehabilitation is a policy in correctional services. Then it's up to you, the one forcing. It's up to you. You can take a horse to water to drink,
yeah,
the river to drink, but you cannot force it to drink. If you don't want to be rehabilitated, it's up to you. And there are many chances for you for once you are released to do crime again. When I committed crime, I was a university dropout. When I arrived there, I finished my degree. Right, I was released in 2010. I started the business. Then now I'm working as a college lecturer. I've got PhD now. I'm working towards my honors. So rehabilitation is up to you. I'm even telling the guys who are listening there in prison, if you are sitting and doing nothing, always complaining about this, complaining about that, not even apologizing to your victims, you won't say your sentence in a proper way. It's better you do something, you study, or you do sports, there's library there, there's school, there's church, You see, those are the things that rehabilitate a person. And for social workers, if you've got a problem, there are social workers there. They are psychologists there.
Yeah, I'm strong. Thank you so much, man. Thank you for calling us and be generous with your own story and experience. I'm going to go get some the news with Tara Penny. And when we come back, we'll continue this conversation. I see your calls coming through. I'll continue to take your calls. And I'll also bring in Gabby, who has worked with the offenders. And she will be able to tell us what is it that she has realized when it comes to rehabilitation in prisons. It's 10:32.
Your voice,
your questions,
your morning radio with Clement Maniatella.
This is 7:02.
Rehabilitation in prisons and reintegration into communities. That's what we're talking about. I've got Sfiso, who is an ex-offender and an entrepreneur. He's just come out of jail about 2 months ago. I also have Kay, who is currently incarcerated, and I have Gabby Fells, who's a specialized kinesiologist with 30 years of experience. And I want to bring in Gabby now and get some expert advice and thoughts on the rehabilitation programs in prisons. Gabby, thank you so much for listening through and also making time to come help us navigate this conversation.
Thank you for having me on your show.
What has the work within prisons taught you about the offenders? What has been your observation?
Well, I would say that there's universal stresses amongst all of them. And I think I've identified some of those. And I've put together workshops for them on those specifics. And I think that has been quite amazing, that a stressed person has very similar problems. So that's what I've done, and I've put it together in a book. For example, they're not very good at communicating. They're very stressed. Their self-esteem has gone through the floor.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge anger problem, you know, underlying that, they can't sleep because of the anger. They're bitter, or they feel guilt, or they feel frustrated, and they also feel very claustrophobic in prison and not being able to express themselves. And this creates a lot of depression. And with those four, even if they want to study in the school environment, they find that they really can't focus and concentrate because their brain is completely switched off. So I started off with those five, and then I've built it up since then. So my classes are all voluntary. So when Fuzzy said, yes, it's a case, sorry, when Kay said it's all voluntary, it is indeed voluntary.
Mm.
So people who are interested in improving themselves and trying to heal their lives and trying to look forward, trying to create a future for themselves, those are the people that are drawn to doing the work. I call it self-work. There's absolutely no shortcuts. You've got to work on yourself in order to be able to clear your misperceptions and beliefs and your behavior. You have to make peace with your past, what you've done, and learn from that experience and find out who you are at a very core level. That is like what I call find your truth.
Mm.
And when they've done that, I find they get very spiritual. And I had one inmate who was released, and I spoke to him on an email, and he said, I was so surprised at the lack of spirituality outside. So I found that that's a really rewarding result of doing programs, that they start to find a reason to be and choose a better path for the future.
I've got an SMS here, Gaby, from T, who is one of our listeners, who says, "Hi, Clem. I think that most convicts can be reformed and rehabilitated. However, it depends on the crime. The exceptions to rehabilitation are those convicted for murder, rape, and assault, gender-based violence. I don't see how they can reform." Is it possible, Gaby, for an offender to be fully reformed regardless of the crime that they have committed?
I wouldn't really say regardless of the crime. If you've got people that are a psychopath or a sociopath or a pedophile or a serial rapist or serial murderer, there's something a little bit screwy in their brain. I don't think that they can be fully rehabilitated. They'll come across as charming and wonderful and participating, but I wouldn't trust that there would be a permanent fix on those sort of people.
Let me go back to Kay, who is currently incarcerated. Kay, what would you say needs to change now in order for rehabilitation to be taken seriously, and in order for like the reforms that can be implemented to ensure that offenders in prison are helped to see what was wrong, that what they did is wrong, and they can come out better people?
Well, great day again. What I think that needs to be done is people need to strengthen the facilities around our correctional sectors. When I mean facilities that will help people develop skills, because you'll find that at most part people will be stressed because they are jobless, they have no form of income, or you find even at home they cannot even afford to buy even a loaf of bread. So if we develop our people to have certain skills, at least they will be able, maybe also not only just develop them, have volunteers from the outer. If maybe one is doing mechanic, you know, give that person a chance. If you could, maybe that 3 months trial while he's out and signing, get him fixed on the job, making use to the community out there, you know, so that we too can come out and serve the community. We are not as bad as what people think. We want to change communities. We want to see greater things through our past experiences and remove the negative energy that is evolved around our own people.
Yeah.
You know? What
do you say, Kay, to people, and I played some voice notes, I'm sure you had them, and some of the SMSs that are coming through of people who argue offenders feel so entitled that when you are in jail there, you are so entitled because you want to have enough space to sit, you want to have the best food. And they argue you have committed a crime. Prisons should never be considered and be thought as comfortable spaces. So the experience in prison is supposed to also send a strong message, so that when a K comes out, you know, he will do his best not to return to that uncomfortable position. And sometimes feel when you complain about the conditions not being good, when you complain about the food being horrible, when you complain about the space and the overcrowding, people feel you are being entitled and you want to be treated as though you are there for a holiday.
Pardon?
Do you agree with that view, that some people feel as prisoners you are entitled to better living conditions, to better food, and you want to be treated as though you're on holiday? And their argument is prison is supposed to be uncomfortable at the end of the day. How do you respond to people who say many prisoners are entitled?
What I could say is, you know, I feel at times I would feel maybe the public as a whole might have maybe another introspective towards us, but you would find that we are also human, like any other human, and every person deserves a chance. I've encountered inmates here through my spiritual growth and certain causes I've done. I've encountered inmates wanting to commit suicide, whereby I've changed a few individuals, find them joining within the churches, growing within it, becoming motivational speakers. Some of them, they are even preaching the word and teaching amongst other fellow inmates. But you find that our facilities, even the places we sleep at, you find that at times we still have old facilities, like juvenile facilities in an elderly spectrum. You know what I mean? The beds are not as right as possible. You find that when you get out, there's certain early disabilities a person might encounter. You know, you might find that because of the conditions, not being able to meet up or help. And it's also devastating, especially when, for those who are studying, imagine have to study and learn and get to perform. The diet is not right, the food. You know, we encounter a whole lot of things. And there's a whole lot of issues people might speak that are not entitled. Even the medications in hospitals, they will give people expired medical, imagine those things. And people, when they come out for certain illnesses, whereby it becomes disabilities, and where they're supposed to come out with their skills and develop and help their families, they can't because they have encountered certain sicknesses or illnesses because of poor facilities that have been facilitated around
our facilities. All right. Kay, thank you so much for joining us for this discussion. Kay is currently in prison right now in Johannesburg. Sfiso, let me get your last thoughts. What conversations are you having? You are an ex-offender. You've been out for about 2 months now. What conversations are you having with some of the people you met in prison now that you are outside? What is it that they don't know or that they need to know?
One thing they need to know is that outside is difficult. Outside is tough. Outside is challenging. Outside is exciting. Outside is fun. Outside, there are possibilities, there are dreams, there are visions, there are aspirations. It lies on the individual that what is it you want for yourself, for your life, and how much more are you willing to give to the community that does not believe in you? So for you to be more welcomed in the community, it is for you to show that you have changed. And you can only do that not by you saying you have changed, but by acting as a changed person. I believe it begins there. And more encouraging them that it is very important, actually, to use that little time to self-educate yourself while you are inside. The little things that you, whether it's reading a magazine or a book or watching news and finding the current affairs that are happening outside so that you can always have food for thought as you are there, so that when you get home, it's not a foreign place, but it's a place that you're familiar with, and it's a place that you are willing to adjust in finding your own comfort in that.
Sfiso, thank you so much for making time to chat to us. Thank you, man. Sfiso is an ex-offender. He's just come out of prison 2 months ago, and he's been serving there for armed robbery. I want to go back to Gabby, and then I'll go to your calls. Mwako, Paul, Madi, I see your calls. I'll come to them just now. Gabby, what kind of support systems and rehabilitation should an offender be offered?
An in-depth life skill course. I find that what is offered generally in prison is so superficial, it doesn't really teach them anything. So to have really a profound life skills course, they need to have a reason to get up in the morning. They need to think. They need to have a sense of achievement. They need to get over the boredom. I think it's important for them to start working on a vision of life goals for now and for after, what's going to happen after they're released. Because I think being released is terribly frightening for a lot of people because they just don't know what they're going to do. They need to have a plan for themselves. It's created a pause in their lives being incarcerated and being out of society. And so there is a possibility of re-educating themselves. In most prisons, there's school education. You can do technical qualifications, university degrees, computer literacies. It just gives them a second chance to get a strong sense of themselves and get their self-esteem back, and so that they can stand on their own two feet once they go out. So I think prison is almost qualifying you for your exit, or that's how it should be seen. But I think being voluntary, there's a lot of people that just don't do that. And I just think participation and absolutely everything that they can lay their hands on is so important. Mm. There's hobbies, art, choir, card games, just doing their own exercise. I don't think people realize the importance of exercise on your mental health.
Yeah. Gabby, thank you so much for helping us with your expertise. You have worked as a kinesiologist for 30 years working with prisoners. So thank you so much for coming through and also joining this conversation. All right. Now I want your experiences. I want your inputs. I'm taking your calls on 011-883-0702. Mwako, you are in Polokwane. Good morning.
How are you?
Keshap, how are you doing?
Hey, Keshap. Listen, I have a problem with these, with especially repeat offenders who are going to be begged to change their ways. They must do hard labor in there. We have so many farms that belong to the correctional services, which employ people from outside. Why don't these people do hard labor in the on those farms? We must not beg people to change and conform to the accepted ways of living within our societies. They must know that if they don't do that, they are going to go to jail. We mustn't beg people. Repeat offenders, especially, that is where my point is. Repeat offenders must be taught a lesson. We mustn't beg people to change their ways. They must be taught a lesson. I know the likes of Miles Boudou will have a different, opinion about this, but we mustn't beg anyone to change.
All right, Mwako, thank you so much for your contribution. Do you agree with Mwako that repeat offenders, I mean, you can maybe forgive the first offenders, but when people become repeat offenders, that's something else there, and that's where it gets tricky. Paul, you are in Lone Hill. Good morning.
Hi, it's Paul here. Thank you so much. I represent an NGO called Flamella Lisa, and we've been working in the prisons in rehabilitation for 17 years. We use horticulture as a means to rehabilitate. And I suppose where I agree with everybody else there, well, is that one of our key differences is our facilitators are ex-offenders. And we keep the people in the classes for 9 months because we found in the beginning that any hopeful change would within a month or two would be lost. But if we keep them for 9 months and we call our life skills a new beginning, so we talk about love and we talk about forgiveness and we talk about, I don't want to sound egotistical, but common decency, you know, and we become a family together. And I must say, we've been very successful in that. And we, so as you can hear, that I'm very enthusiastic and I love it. And I've been doing it for, as I say, for 17 years. And I'm also older than John Robbie. So
Paul, I'm interested to know what's been your observation in terms of the former prisoners that you employ. Have you seen some that have reoffended, or have you seen most of them that are sticking to the cause and they do appear as fully rehabilitated and they want to do better?
I must say we've got, as it's judged and correction services has really recognized that we have probably under 20% recidivism rate. But life is tougher when you haven't got a job and you're an extra mouth to feed. Life is tough. So we've developed a support program for people outside. It's a daily struggle. It's a daily struggle. And when we can get them, we make them employable. So to get formal employment is quite difficult, as you're well aware. But if you make peace with yourself and make peace with the community and have a sense of self-value, we also give them a national diploma in horticulture, which is something that they're proud of. And some of the people, the juveniles, might never have passed anything in their life before.
Yeah.
So it really is a mental and physical and spiritual growth, the whole thing. And support, you know,
hug a bloke. Paul, thank you so much for your call. And kudos and well done on the work that you're doing to play a part in helping these former prisoners also, you know, reform and, you know, be integrated into society, back into society, and giving them those opportunities. Mati, you are in Four Ways. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Yeah. So I think my piece that I wanted to share with you and the listeners, I think South Africa has got good Samaritans. I'm one of them. The guys that are in prison for whatever reason that, you know, they've committed the crimes they have, at some stage, you know, they need to be integrated into society. So as citizens, we need to show love, we need to show care, we need to show support. So I've been going to two prisons. I'm a life coach myself.
Yeah.
I wanted to offer my services at no cost, simply because I know that these guys would still come back, you know, in our society. But I'm telling you, it was a process of I'm going through some job interviews. I was made to fill lots of forms, which I've done. I went for interviews at the end. You know, they decided, you know what, we're not going to have you do this for now. We will contact you. And there's cost that is involved, you know. What is your program involving? Will there be printing cost? I said, yes, I'll pick up the cost. All that I want is for me to be able to live in a society that I'm happy and, you know, I feel comfortable. And I'm playing my part. But I think what government has done, it's not helping, you know, people like myself who want, you know, to contribute into the challenge that we have as a country. So for me, I think it's just appealing out there to say, can you sort of relax this rules? Maybe I should just find Paul, your previous caller, you know, maybe work with them, you know. Because really, for me, I think it's just this big challenge. We cannot stay away from the problem that we have inmates. We need to help them, you know, integrate into the society with them having find the meaning for life.
Yeah, Mati.
So that was,
yeah, I think you raised an interesting point there. Maybe those are the rules that need to change because we need all the help, right? We need all the help. Unfortunately, people don't go to jail for the rest of their lives. It's different when you're dealing with some of the violent, brutal crimes. But if you... people stole something or armed robbery, when they go to prison, they don't go there for the rest of their lives. They're going to end up coming out. How do you want them to come out? You want them to come out rehabilitated, understanding very well what they did. They must be able to be sorry and regret their actions, and they must be able to be to reintegrate in society and not reoffend. Because they feel socially awkward or they feel like they are still treated as outcasts, so to speak.